say to you, he who does not enter the sheepfold by the door, but climbs up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he who enters by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the doorkeeper opens, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. And when he brings out his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. Yet they will by no means follow a stranger, but will flee from him, for they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this illustration, but they did not understand the things which he spoke to them. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. All who ever come before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved, and will go in and out and find pasture. The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not know, one who does not own the sheep, my eyesight just went blank here for a second. One who does not own the sheep sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father. I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Therefore my Father loves me, because I lay down my life that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This command I have received from my Father. Jesus, you know, continuing, really this is a continuation of chapter 9. He heals the blind man that was born blind from birth. He, you know, the blind man gets interrogated by the Pharisees and the Jewish leadership. He gets casted out of the synagogue. At the end of chapter 9, Jesus meets him. And as he meets him, he says, hey, you believe in the Messiah? You believe in the Son of God? And there receives salvation. For he confesses Jesus as the Messiah. Yeah, I believe you, man. And following that, the Pharisees are, look in verse 41, chapter 9. Jesus, turning to the Pharisees, said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. The confrontation with the Jewish leadership in chapter 9. The Bible tells us some believed, some didn't. They were confused. That's why they couldn't. It was hard for them to act against Jesus. There was a struggle within them. And we noted last week, there's a struggle within us. The flesh lusts against the spirit, and the spirit against the flesh. We're in a constant struggle of spiritual realities and dynamics and the truth of who Jesus is and his presence and his will and his reign over our life. But here Jesus, and you can't help but, you know, he's speaking to the Pharisees, but you can't help but, like, tune into his tone. He's not fed up with them. He's really trying to appeal to them still. And he uses, like, a most endearing illustration of a shepherd and his sheep and loving his sheep and the sheep hearing his voice and following him. In verse 6, you know, the Bible tells us there that it's an illustration or an allegory. And not so much like a parable, but like a figure of speech. So he uses this because, you know, it was a commonplace to see shepherds and sheep there in Israel. So he uses, you know, again, a means to illustrate a spiritual point. And, you know, today, even still, there's shepherds in Israel. They probably look a little different. You know, they got their baseball cap on backwards. And yet, they're still there. And here, he using a picture to illustrate, you know, some spiritual truth. And it's so simple, and yet it's so dynamic. Being relating to Jesus, our shepherd, hearing his voice, following his lead. And we're going to look at that a little more closely. The next two I am statements are found in this passage. You know, we looked at I am the bread of life. I am the light of the world. Here, I am the door and I am the good shepherd. Continuing, the third and fourth I am statements. There's a contrast as Jesus, you know, talks about the shepherd with the hireling or the thief and the robber. You know, the thief comes to kill, to steal, to kill and destroy. And he contrasts the true shepherd, him, himself, our Savior, with other, you know, false shepherds. The wolf, he calls them in one place. But he, contrasting. We're going to look at a few things. First, you know, he talks about, I am the door. And he speaks of, you know, a sheepfold. Much of this is probably real familiar to you. And yet, you know, it was more familiar to them. And I looked up sheepfold on the, you know, internet. So I got some, you know, pictures of what they look like. They're little sheep pens. And, you know, they showed several images, you know, but they, most of them kind of stacked field stone. And they were an enclosure, not that big, maybe 12 foot square, 14 foot square, the ones I see. And, you know, maybe this high or so. Some of them had like thorns on top so that the animals couldn't climb over the field stone. Some of them were just made up of like a bramble, you know, like some bushes and stuff, like interlaced with a bunch of thorns, any kind of hedge and protection. Some I read of were built kind of like in the hillsides, so they didn't have to have, you know, four walls with an opening. Some of them only had two or one or three up against the, you know, the slope of the hill. But Jesus talking in the first place, he describes you know, that he was the door to this all-familiar picture to them. Sheep pen. I am the door. And in the first time he mentions it, the first point he makes is, you know, I am the door. And again, he's appealing to those to listen and hear and respond to him. I am the door to the sheep pen. And if anybody enters in by any other means, crawls up, climbs over to another place, and doesn't come in the right entrance, he's a thief or a robber. So he, you know, he makes the point that I am the door, and my doorway and who I am is the right, you know, entrance. You know, further on, he says, I am the way, the truth, and the only entrance. The only way in. The only way into the kingdom of heaven. The only way into the sheepfold is through Jesus Christ and his shed blood. But he, giving this picture, you know, in verse 9, goes on to, after, you know, in verse 6, it talks like they didn't understand. He kind of gives like a little snippet of the shepherd and the sheep. They didn't understand still, so he kind of breaks it down further. But in verse 9, he gives the, you know, the third I am statement. I am the door, he says. If anyone enters by me, he will be saved. We'll go in and out and find pasture. I am the door, again, to the sheep, or the flock, the doorway to the kingdom of heaven, the doorway to the church, the doorway to becoming born again. He's the entrance, the only doorway. When we started, we met in a little school in Fraser. They've since knocked it down. But we had like a little door back up in the wall. I had the perfect object. Hey, there's the door. You got to go through the door. And, you know, we got the door over here. We He's the only means by which we enter in. In him stating, you know, the doorway, I am the door and the entrance. He, in the statement, I am the door, you know, he follows it with, he who enters in by me shall be saved and can go in and out and find pasture. If we come in the right door, obviously, we become saved. We're born again. We're rightly related to him. We're in a good place. We know him. And he states that, hey, you come in the right way. And again, appealing to those trying to reach those. He says, you know, if you come in, you enter in the right door, you're going to be saved. And we see that. And he says, you go in and out and you'll find pasture. And going in and out, you know, finding salvation through him. And then going in and out. Turn to Ephesians chapter 2. Interesting verse in verse 18. Paul, you know, relating about Jesus being a doorway. In verse 18, chapter 2 of Ephesians, the Bible tells us, for through him we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. He's our doorway and our access before God. Jesus, our shepherd, our Savior. And he says, if you come in the right door, you're going to be saved. And you'll go in and out and find pasture. You know, Jesus states, you know, they didn't understand. But Jesus stating, hey, if you go in, you lock in, you come his way, you'll go in and out. You have access. And going in and out, you know, you think about going in and out. The first thing that came to my mind was In-N-Out Burger in California. A good place, right? But they have an access going through the door. And then for the intent of, you know, good pasture, nourishment, spiritual feeding. And it's true. You know, we come via Jesus Christ. The Bible tells us we receive this Holy Spirit. And by and through his Holy Spirit, we're able to see and feed on the Scripture, on the truth, the spiritual truth. We can now become nourished. We've accepted him. We've come his way. We've entered in. He talks about the shepherd's care. We read in Psalm 23, you know, that he makes us to lie down in green pastures. The provision of the shepherd, making sure we're fed, eating right, the nourishment. The Bible tells us in Isaiah 40, he shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs in his arms and carry them in his bosom. And he shall gently lead those who are with young. I think of, you know, those that have young families and how he is, you know, so extra gentle and giving and caring and providing. But his heart and his tone and his person, I'm the shepherd. Come in the right door. You'll have access. You'll be able to go in and out, find pasture. You'll be able to be nourished spiritually. You can grow. And, you know, the Bible tells us in Deuteronomy 28 in the chapter of blessings, you know, if you obey God, then you'll be blessed. One of the blessings is you'll be blessed when you go in and you'll be blessed when you come out. They can go in and out and find pasture, Jesus says. He contrasting, you know, the intention of the good shepherd or himself, the true shepherd, and the thief. And the thief's intention, or, you know, the difference between the intentions of Jesus Christ towards us and the enemy's intentions towards us. He speaks of, in verse 10, at the beginning of verse 10, he says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. You know, the destructive force of the enemy against us. We think of, you know, sin and the ruin that sin brings to our life. The ruin and those that, you know, follow that course in the life of the flesh and the destruction it brings to them. Alcoholism, you know, drug abuse and use, and the devastating not only on their physical bodies but on their relationships, and the divorces and the family breaks and the dysfunction. And, you know, and today it's getting even worse. You know, they're smoking this spice to the point where, you know, their conscience is like without conscience and able to kill their own parents, you know, children. And the destructive force, the thief comes to steal, to kill, to destroy. How he contrasting, you know, the intention of the thief, the robber, and himself, the true shepherd, and Jesus and his intentions. The end of verse 10, he says, I have come, you know, to give life. I have come to give life and life more abundantly. Come in the door. He's talking to the Pharisees or us. Come on in. Go in and out, hook up, connect. I'll give life. In contrast to stealing, killing, robbing, destroying, ruin, destruction, I'll give you life more abundantly. You know, the Greek word for abundant or abundantly is more than sufficient or over and above, or one commentator says superabundant. And, you know, I think of David in the Psalm, my cup runs over. You know, it's a struggle to come to Jesus Christ. Our flesh resists him. It's hard to trust him because of our own reliance. I don't know if I can trust him. You know, I got to make decisions and sacrifices. I got to lay down some things, my own self-reliance, in order to trust him. There's a battle in order to follow him. But he promises that if you come in the door and follow me, you know, I'll give you more abundant life. He, in this passage, talks about the shepherd's voice. Voice is mentioned five times, you know, through the chapter. It's interesting. He says, my sheep hear my voice. I started thinking about voice recognition. You know, today we have like this great illustration, voice recognition software. You know, and voice prints or voice has an identification, or, you know, you can now read voice digitally on a screen. All voices are different. But Jesus says, my voice, my sheep hear my voice, recognize his voice. Sometimes Roseanne calls the house, you know. And Jason and I sometimes sound alike. The other day I said, hey, just, you know, she called my phone. Jason picked it up. I said, just tell her, how's it going? See if we could pull it off. And we did. But he has a unique voice. And he talks to us. And we're to recognize his voice. My sheep hear his voice. I started thinking about voice. Maybe too much. I started thinking about the program, the voice, where their backs are turned, you know, and they come on and they sing, and, you know, as soon as, you know, I want them on my team, boom, turn around. But my sheep hear my voice. It's like, oh, I know that voice. I recognize him. You know, right away, he says, they follow me. They hear my voice. Five times. In verse 3, he says, the sheep hear his voice, and he calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. By name he knows us. And, you know, he used an illustration of a shepherd out there and how they communicate, you know, to the sheep. And I read that they use real weird kind of high voices, but they communicate. They know the sheep, and the sheep respond like a dog would. You know, come on. Knowing my voice, knowing his voice. In verse 4, he says that they follow him, for they know his voice. Verse 5, because they know his voice, they do not follow a stranger. He offers protection, our shepherd. Get to know him, hear his voice. All of a sudden, other voices are not, they're not right. You know, I remember years ago, we go to different churches, and I wasn't really settled in the faith, you know. I wasn't firm in my understanding. I didn't really have a base of theology. But I'd go to a church and something isn't right here. You know, I sense something. there's a spiritual disconnect. I don't know what it is. I can't put it to words. I can't articulate. But something ain't right. And then, you know, you grow and you learn and you get into His Word. Then you're able to articulate what's wrong. Oh, man, you see it right away. You recognize it. That's not Jesus. That's not His voice. Don't even sound like it. Wrong tone. You know, some people, they got like, they're, remember the King James only. And the King James only, some in that camp, you know, and the angry spirit behind it. It's not that, you know, King James is a bad version, but you recognize, wait a minute, that's not His spirit. There's something, they're angry. That's a wrong tone. But His voice, the sheep hear. The Bible tells us, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I know them by name, a personal relationship. They follow me. The Bible tells us the way He leads, I go out before them. You know, there's a big difference between how He leads, or a shepherd, and a cattle rustler. One who drives, he doesn't have that aspect, demeanor. He's loving in His tone. We hear Him. We know Him. The Bible says, you hear His voice. My sheep hear His voice. They recognize Him by His voice and His tone and His spirit to know Him. How important it is to know Him, to get to know Him. I think of, Crystal Lewis's song. You know, people get ready. Jesus is coming. Soon we'll be going home. So you better know Him well. Get in tune with His voice. Hear Him. Get close to Him. To trust Him. To hear His voice. To follow Him. Personal relationship. Faith. Hope. You know, the Bible tells us in Psalm 23, David, who was a shepherd, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And it's so interesting. Our shepherd, our Savior, our Jesus, the Holy Spirit in our life, our connection with Him, our relationship with Him, how He's with us with issues in life. I shall not want. You know, dealing with our wants, our covetousness. I shall not lack. The struggles and the issues of life. And where a shepherd would watch over his flock, as David did, his sheep, describing God and His shepherding, relationship towards His sheep. He deals with us, with our troubles. And I make them to lie down in green pastures. Sometimes we need to be made to lie down. I think of, Chuck Sprain. He used to say that because God made him lie down. He was on his back, flat on his back. He was hospitalized. I think of Minnie, Charlie. I think of Regis. Some people, I think of Steve Grenier. He got hit by a bus. Literally. He hit by a... Scott Dossel. Hit by a truck. On his 10-speed. And then forced to lie on his back. He makes me to lie down in green pastures. I mean, where are you going to go then? Who are you going to talk to? And His desire to connect with us and His desire for us to respond to Him through nourishment, what we feed upon, the pastures we eat from, that we grow, we recognize His voice. Even to the point the Bible tells us in Psalm 23, yea, though I go through the valley of the shadow of death, even through death, our shepherd's with us. We're going to need Him. And yet, David, at the point of death, we don't know when it comes, how we'll respond. And yet David said, oh, You're with me. He doesn't leave us, our shepherd. Through the sorrows and troubles of life and testings, He's with us. Strife and stress, the opposition. He prepares a table before me in the presence of my enemies, offering protection. In verse 11, notice, I am the good shepherd. the fourth I am statement. Now, Jesus, in giving this picture, you know, giving the contrasting intentions, what are your options? Where are you going to go? Who are you going to follow? The thief comes to rob, steal, and destroy. Or rob, kill, and destroy. And Jesus, to give life and life more abundantly. I'm the good shepherd. Do you hear his voice? You know, to respond to him. You know, we all are in a battle. You know, the flesh, lust against spirit, spirit against flesh. So we do not do the things that we wish. You just sit here and say, oh man, I'm his sheep. I go everywhere. He said, like Jesus said, you know, I do everything, always, the things that please the Father. Yeah, not me, man. You know, it's a battle. We're in an opposition. We're called to. We recognize his voice. But to test or question his love. That's, you know, when we get off. You know, to challenge him in his heart for us. Then we're wrong, blatantly wrong. Because he goes on, I'm the good shepherd, and I lay down my life for my sheep. You know, to if you follow it through, you know, and you see him and his intention for us. He lays down his sheep for his, lays down his life for his sheep. That means instead of. It means as a substitute for. I've come to give life and life more abundantly, he says. To know him, to hear him, is, you know, really how he's, you know, they couldn't get it. They were being sarcastic in verse 41, or 40. He says, are we also blind? You know, they were being sarcastic when Jesus was saying, man, you say you have no sin, yes, you are blind. You know, if you didn't say, if you're being honest with yourself, you know, you'd be real and true. But they're sarcastic. You know, are we also blind? But him trying to reach them and us. You know, the Bible tells us, you know, to know him, to hear him, to follow him. It's tantamount to believing and trusting faith. I have to believe. I have to go with him and follow him. I have to entrust my soul with him because he's so good. You know, he's never failed me. I can't ever give an example when he's been, you know, he's failed me. I can give you 100,000 when I fail myself. But to question his intent. You know, the Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians that, you know, he who knew no sin became sin for us that we might become the righteousness of God in him. In our stead, I lay down my life for my sheep. You know, and he goes on to say, you know, no one takes my life from me. You know, I lay down and I'll take it up. And he talks about his death and resurrection and the power he has. You know, again, how John, you know, speaks of his deity and him speaking. You know, no, Pilate didn't take his life, you know, and the Jews, who killed Jesus? You know, some say the Jews killed Jesus, but it was our sin, but it was Jesus and his voluntary choice. He voluntarily laid it down in our stead. This is the intention of our shepherd. I'll lay down and die for you. That's how much I love you. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows, the Bible tells us in the book of Isaiah, speaking of him and his love and the cross. But Jesus using this illustration as a shepherd, you know, not much of a vivid one for us. It's not like, you know, we cruise down 24 mile and there's some shepherds, you know. But we get the picture. And his love and his devotion and his intention. And not to question his love for us. Let's stand. Let's pray. I am the door, he says. He's the right door, the only door. By means, the only means by which we enter the sheepfold, the flock. The kingdom of God. And he who enters in is saved. And can go in and out and find pasture. I'll take care of you. He promises. Let's pray. Father, as we continue through the Gospel of John, Lord, we do ask, Lord, that you plant your word in our heart and give us a sensitive hearing and towards your voice, Lord, and your leading and who you are and your person and your intent. And you said, Lord, that those who recognize your voice follow you. Do not follow the voice of a stranger because they do not know that voice. And Lord, the freedom that you offer, we turn to you again, hold up our soul and trust our soul to you. And we ask that you keep your hand upon us, Lord, and cover us with your blood and cause us to grow and get strong and to grow and get victory over our flesh and our life, obedience, to stay close to you, our shepherd. We praise you, Lord, that you've revealed these things to us, that you'd open our heart, that you show us, and that we hear you. And Lord, we just ask that you keep your hand upon us and cause us to grow in the nourishment of the truth, that we be strong for your glory, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.